Praise God. Everybody's looking great this morning. Last thing, I did clean the glasses. Yeah, I'm all set there, my gosh. This is just a short precept, but from God's Word. Very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Okay? It says, "What trials may make you realize your own helplessness? How can you obey God's leading?" And we'll go to prayer. Please, God wants us to get that in our minds, our hearts, for further along. Stay that course. Keep going what we're doing. He's there to help us all. Dear Lord, we just thank and praise you for this day, special day you've made, created, and created each one of us in your own image. So, Father God, as we look around, yes, maybe a little bit different as far as looks and everything else, but the thing is, too, we have you for most of us, and you reside in each one of us, Father God. If anybody doesn't, it's their salvation. So we need, that's a must, come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. If that be today, praise God. I know it'll be such a joyous time with the angels. So whatever's done today from the beginning of this service to praise and worship him, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, we thank you. He's worthy of all our praise and worship. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts. Guide our minds, our hearts, about his mind, his heart. Just program him to focus in on your word, Father God, today. And receive everything we need to receive back, Father God, through these temples, Father God, to go forward on those highways and byways and continue on as we look to you. Everything we say and do will be pleasing to you. And we ask it in your name. Amen.
Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. And just very quickly, I'll let you know that the daily bread, our daily bread, is in, and they're on the table in the fellowship hall. Go ahead and pick up your copy. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there were false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." Father, this is a hard word. And yet you have placed it in the scriptures for us to know, to discern, to rightly divide. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will speak to us through this scripture this morning, that you will challenge each one of us, Lord, in our walk with you. Father, I ask that you would fill me with your spirit, fill me with your word. I confess to you, God, I can't do this without you. Quite frankly, Lord, I don't want to do it without you. I need you desperately. Speak to my heart. Speak to all of us this morning. Challenge us, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. May we grow in our understanding and in our faith in you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple of verses before chapter 2. Knowing this first, verse 20 of chapter 1. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So important to understand that we must be moved by the Holy Spirit, not by our own understanding, not by our own flesh. I'll tell you right now, I don't know how many times I feel like I got the right understanding and I'm going in the right direction, but then I make this one big mistake. I pray and I seek God on it and find out that God has said, you know, it's a good thing you just asked me because you were heading for a pile of trouble. God calls us to understand his word, but we need to be moved by his spirit. If you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 22. In 1 Kings chapter 22, there's a section here that is important for us to see. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 4. So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me and fight at Ramoth Gilead?" This is Ahab. Ahab was a very ungodly king. Jehoshaphat was a very godly king. And here the two of them have come together, and Ahab's asking Jehoshaphat to join in with him to fight against the king of Israel. So Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, excuse me, not the king of Israel, but the we'll get to it. You ever have anybody here besides me have a problem with an old man brain?
No.
No, no, you had an old woman brain. All right. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." So also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire of the word of the Lord today." Do you do that when you wake up in the morning? Do you inquire of the word of the Lord for the day? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king." You hear this? 400 prophets, all in agreement, saying to the king, "Go ahead and go. Oh, God is with you. Oh, you're just going to smite them. You're going to come out victorious." Jehoshaphat, who was a man of God, who had an ear bent to hear the Lord, recognized that he was not hearing the voice of God in those 400 prophets. So he said this, verse 7, "And Jehoshaphat said, 'Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?' So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'There's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil.'" Remember, Ahab was a very evil king. Why was Micaiah always prophesying things that were not what Ahab would think would be good? Because Ahab was not good. He was not following God. And Micaiah was being used of God to try and steer him back, but he was not steerable. I'm asking you this morning, are you teachable? Are you a teachable person where you want to be taught by the Holy Spirit? You want to be taught by his word. Here, Jehoshaphat "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" Now, a few verses later, because Ahab went ahead and sent people to go get Micaiah. And pick up in verse 11. "Now Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, 'Thus says the Lord,'" this is one of those prophets, With these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to Micaiah spoke to him, saying, listen to this, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Please, let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Please, and speak encouragement to our king. Make him feel good. Make him feel like he's going in the right direction. Join in with the rest. Listen to me. That's exactly what the world wants of the church. Join in with the rest. Join in with all of us. Encourage us. Don't give us this Word of God stuff. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. We need prophets in this world, in this society, that are not afraid to speak, thus saith the Lord, but not just thus saith the Lord, but know it is from God.
That's right. Come on.
There's a lot out there that are going, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. That's what these 400 prophets were doing. They were going, thus saith the Lord. Smite them. Go ahead and go in. Not a problem. And Micaiah was like, you're headed for trouble. Now, I'm not going to go into the further of this. I just want you to see that the majority of those who are in the limelight saying, thus saith the Lord, are missing it. We had an election, and I'm not going to get into whether I'm a Trumper or not, but I will say this, that there were many prophesying, he's going to win, he will win, it's a given, he's going to be in the White House, and he didn't win. Now, I'm not going to get into whether it was skewed or not, but the fact of the matter is, he did not get in. And there were many that were saying, he will. And they were speaking as one accord. The same thing that was happening here with Jehoshaphat and Ahab. The mark of a true prophet is that when he says comes to pass, what he says comes to pass. Another thing is a true prophet is very, very careful about saying, thus saith the Lord. He's very careful because he doesn't want to miss God. And he has no care whatsoever in making you feel good. He wants to be the spokesman for the Lord. Now back to 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. There will be false prophets among the people. That's key to understand. Yes, there's false prophets, but they're among the people. There will be false teachers among you. I read this, and I'll tell you, I cry out to God. Since I started this study with 2 Peter, I have cried out and cried out to God, God, please help me not be a false teacher. Help me to teach your word accurately. You see, there are apostles, prophets, Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Right.
You see, it's our responsibility to equip you for the work of the ministry. What most people think is that you're the one that's supposed to do the ministry. No, this is my ministry to equip you.
That's right.
So that you will do the ministry. And what is the ministry? Seek and save the lost. Hallelujah. But when you look at those fivefold gifts, ministry gifts that God gives to the church. Please understand, everything that God has created and all authority that he has delegated will be taken by Satan and refabricated. He is comes to even, and Jesus himself said, look with me in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, this is so important to understand. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, 24 and 25. And if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, even possible, even the elect. If possible, even the elect. Who's the elect?
We are.
You guys. Me. We are the elect of God. Wow, what a position to have. It's a beautiful position. It's a wonderful position, but one that holds great responsibility. And Jesus himself said that the enemy will come in with false Christs and false prophets, will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. How can that be? How can the elect be deceived? The elect will be deceived because the elect doesn't find this as being really important. You get to know God through his word.
Amen.
You get to know God. And when you have a strong relationship with the Lord and you're walking tight with him according to his word, you're not easily deceived. The ones that are easily deceived are the ones that really are very nonchalant in their approach to the word of God, to their approach to God's people, to God's ways of life. And back to 2 Peter. So we understand how the enemy will falsify the gifts that God has given to the church, being apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. But there are also false prophets among the people. Even there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. You see, that's part of what false prophets and false teachers do, is they secretly come in with destructive heresies. They don't usually just come in going bleh like that. They come in with very subtle changes that happen. That's why even here when we're raising up leadership, we're very careful. Why? Because we want leadership to have a high honor and respect of the word of God, and it is evident in their life. Even denying the Lord who bought them. Now you might say, that's impossible. Well, there have been many elect that have fallen to that trap. Now I'm not going to name names. I could name names of famous preachers that have fallen to these heresies. But I'm not going to, because I don't want to dictate information to you so you go, well, Pastor said I don't listen to him, so I'm not going to. What I want to do is to build within you the understanding so that you can flag yourself. You can flag what you say. Wait a minute, that's not true.
That's right.
Whoa, wait a minute. That's not what God's word says. Wait a minute. This person is leading me down a pathway that I should not be going, because God's word is very clear. The word of God is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path.
Right.
It's got to be this right here.
Yeah.
And if I ever preach something other than what's in this Bible, then I'm in trouble.
You are.
I am in trouble. If I do. You wonder what's going on in this woman's mind when she's sitting there going, you are. What? And may verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth is blasphemed. You see, false prophets, false teachers will secretly bring destructive heresies. They can even deny that the Lord himself bought them. Listen to me. Satan, the more the what he wants to do is to damage the work of the cross.
That's right. Come on.
He wants to tear it down and he wants to make it so it's really not that important.
That's right.
We ever stray from this, we're doomed. It all started here and it ended here. No, actually, it didn't end here. It ended in the grave when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Ooh! That put a nail in the coffin of Satan, I'll tell you. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. See, that's what's the ultimate goal of Satan is to blaspheme the truth. You know what the word blaspheme means? It means to degrade. It means to tear down. Mm-hmm. It means to pull it apart.
That's right.
To blaspheme the truth of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. My heart cries out when I see people headed in the wrong direction, moving away from the Jesus, moving away from the cross, because they want to get into the deeper things of God. Listen to me. You can't get any deeper than what Jesus did on that cross for you and for me. You can't get any deeper. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Verse 3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. Listen to what God's word says. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. What does it mean that by covetousness they will exploit you? This is what it means. Joe, you got something I want.
Good head, eh?
And I covet it. And I'm going to start mastering all these deceptive words to try and convince you that you're going to give it to me.
Oh, good. Good luck.
That's what that's talking about. There will be ones, let's take the prosperity gospel. Listen, this is talking about false teachers that have come into the church. They're part of the church, bringing in their destructive heresies.
That's right.
Oh, I'm on TV. And if you would just send me $1,000, I guarantee you that God will meet your need and your checkbook's going to be overflowing. What is he doing, or she? By covetousness, they're coveting what you have, and they're trying to extract it from you. What it says here, by covetousness, they will exploit you. What does exploit mean? It means to take advantage of. It means to extract out of you. You want, listen, I'm not opposed to giving to the Lord. But I do have a problem in giving to a televangelist that is telling me something like that I can't find in the Word of God. You know what I find in the Word of God when it comes to prosperity? I see in the Word of God where I am to tithe my income to the church, which I do. I see where I am to give alms and offerings. But I do that in the direction of God's Word. And God tells me in his word that when I bring 10%, when I do give, when I do tithe, and that's what tithe is the 10%. If it's less than that, it's not a tithe. But when I give that, according to God's word, I know that God says, and he says in his word, he will supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says in his word, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour upon me blessings such as I cannot even contain. But you see, it's not the fill my checkbook thing.
Give and expect nothing in return.
Beg your pardon?
Give and expect nothing
in return. Give and expect nothing in return. Amen.
Amen. Come on.
But God opens up the windows of heaven and pours upon me blessings that I cannot even contain. I have yet to get a Maserati. For years I've been telling you how I really love Maseratis, and I'd love to have a Maserati, but God has not blessed me with one yet. You know what I got? A Kia. Now you park a Kia next to a Maserati and you see a drastic difference, but God has supplied my need. He has supplied my need. And he supplies many of my wants as well. But if he was to take all my wants away, I still am going to be confident in this. My needs will be met. Will be met. Because God is not extracting it from me in covetousness, as these will try to extract things from you and exploit you with deceptive words. You see, for a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They will answer to God for that. They don't have to answer to me. I don't have to dictate who they are. Stay away from them. Don't turn on to that channel. Don't do this. Don't do that. Just listen to what God's word said and let his word guide you. You don't need to be guided by me or by the elders or the deacons of this church. You need to be guided by the word of God. Because quite frankly, I'm not going to be around forever. If Jesus is to tarry, there's going to be somebody else in this pulpit, in position someday. I'm going to be with the Lord, hallelujah, and I'll pray for him. I don't know, in heaven, do you pray for them? I don't know. We'll find out when I get there. By covetousness, they will exploit you. Now go on to verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. You see, they didn't get any special treatment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. The title of this message is, I sure don't want to be in their shoes. Something like that. I sure don't want to be in their shoes.
I want to be in the boat.
You got a bulletin? Let me see. Now I got to see exactly what it was that I said. I would not want to be in their shoes. Yeah, I would not want to. But I'll tell you right now, God is no respecter of persons. And there is just as much opportunity for me to get into wickedness in misdirecting the word of God as many who already have. You see, Jesus said that the enemy will deceive even the elect if it is at all possible. So it is up to us to not make it possible. It is up to us to be men and women of the word of God so that we're handling the word of God so that we will not be deceived because we're handling the word of truth. Let's go on. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. You see, that great flood was not a fairy tale. It happened. There's archaeological evidence of it all over this world that it happened. How on top of mountains do they get fossils of sea creatures? It happened. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. Those two cities were burned by the power and the authority of God and himself. They condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. You see, these things happen for an example to this world today.
That's right.
God is the same God then as he is now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The standards that he had back then are the same standards that we have today. It's the same standards that will come tomorrow. It's the same standards. And if we are not going to follow his standards, we're going to do our own thing, then he says, okay, fine, go right ahead. Go ahead and do it. But look how I treat sin. You cannot possibly save yourself.
No, you can't.
You can't be good enough
And in our flesh, we think, oh, I'm a good guy. I mean, when I witness to people, I talk to people about the Lord, and I ask them, you know, if you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven? I think so. And I say, okay, well, you think so. Why do you think so? And they immediately, and you can see it in their face, they switch into pride mode. They switch into deceit mode.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I do this and I do that, and I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, I haven't stolen much more than maybe a candy bar, as long as we don't talk about the other things. You know, all these things, I'm a pretty good person. Okay. Well, have you ever stolen something? Well, yeah. Okay, have you ever lied? Well, yeah, well, who hasn't? You know, yeah, I've lied.
White lies.
Okay, huh?
White lies.
Oh, the white lies. Yeah, don't mess me up here. did you ever lust after a really pretty woman? Well, I'm not blind, you know. Okay, so that means that you're an adulteress, lying, stealing, troublemaker. And you think you're good enough to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. You really have to put it that way. No, I don't have to put it that way. That's what the Word of God says. See, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. That's why we need the cross. That's why we need what Jesus did on this cross. Because I cannot be good enough. I can't be. Quite frankly, in my flesh, I don't care. But in my spirit, I am so humbly, joyfully glad that Jesus did what he did on the cross, because he paid for those sins that I can't pay for. And these are the things that the enemy wants to blaspheme. Let's go on. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was living in those twin cities, so to speak. And it goes on, verse 8, for that righteous man, meaning Lot, dwelling among them, listen, this is very important, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. He was tormented. He lived among them, and he was tormented with the sin of Sodom and the sin of Gomorrah. And the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was far more than just homosexuality. Far more. But that's what is highlighted. He was tormented. And because he was tormented, his heart was still soft towards God, but hardened towards sin. And what we do, and remember, he was tormented by it. He lived in it daily. Please understand, listen to this. Because we live in a society that has all kinds of sin. And we get to the place where we become hardened more to the sin than being grieved for our society. Mm-hmm. And when we get more hardened towards this, towards our society, the sin of our society, and not grieved by it, we're more easily led into heresies. Because when my heart is hardened towards that which God's heart grieves for, then I am now shutting off that avenue to my relationship with God because of my acceptance of what is sin. I'll give you an example. We have a sin in our nation called abortion. Now, before I say anything more than this, I want everyone to understand, even those who are watching online, if you have had an abortion, God will forgive you because it's a sin that was paid for on the cross.
That's right.
You don't have to grieve it for your whole life. You can be set free from it simply by confessing that sin to the Lord, receiving His forgiveness. Let Him wipe it clean. Hallelujah for that. We have a wonderful God. It doesn't matter what it is. He loves you and He will forgive you for it. But when we're looking at the national sin of abortion, what has happened with much of the church is it has now become, rather than a grievous, tormenting sin as that which was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah to Lot. Remember, it says it has tormented his righteous soul from day to day. When we get to that place where it doesn't torment our soul, where we don't grieve over that sin, then it becomes something that is a less important. And it changes. And I hear this from Christians. Well, it's not so much the importance of the death of a baby, but it's an issue. It's a political issue. And when you look at a candidate, you can't judge a candidate just on that one issue. You have to look at the other issues. All right? Anybody hear that? Don't raise your hand if you ever said that. My stand on that is that it grieves me. It grieves me. I thank God for the two birth mothers that decided to give our two children life so that we could adopt the two of them. John, Matthew, and Lauren, and they came with trouble. Well, that's okay. You can birth a child, and that comes with trouble, too. Right? Let me tell you, when your mama birthed you, you brought trouble to your mom and dad. You did. You weren't just a wonderful little kid. Oh, look at me, mommy. You know, I'm fine. I'm not even ever going to cry. You know? When we allow ourselves to get hardened to the effects of sin, we are less likely to be able to hear God, particularly in that area. And we're not going to be governed by the Holy Spirit because we're governing ourselves. And when we allow it to happen in one area, it can grow into other areas. Amen? So let it torment you. It's hard to allow something to torment you, but it brings you to the place where you're on your knees before God and crying out for your nation, crying out for your people, crying out for that woman you may know that's headed to have an abortion, and that you would be used by God to help steer her to give life. That righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. You see, the Lord knows how to deliver me out of temptations. But the way He delivers me out of temptations is because I have a soft heart towards Him. And I do everything I can to make sure that I don't allow things to come into my life that's going to harden my heart towards Him. I don't want to allow things. I'm not saying I'm perfect at this. I ain't got it down pat yet. You can ask Kathy, she'll tell you. But I'm hungry to take God's word and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to inhabit me in a way where my life gets changed so that He is more exonerated or exemplified in this world. And I know that when that happens, there's going to be people of the world that's going to give me a hard time. That there's going to be persecution that's coming my way. That's just the way it is. Lot was persecuted by those in Sodom and Gomorrah. They yelled and screamed at him. But he stood his ground. Verse 10. and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. You know what those angels were saying? They're saying, for me to bring an accusation against them, it's above my pay grade. And we are not to be accusatory people. But we are to be a people of prayer.
That's right.
And a people of action. And a people with a godly attitude. The woman who was caught in a very act of adultery, Jesus got rid of the accusers. And then he looked at her and said, where are they? She said, I don't know. And he said, neither do I condemn you. But go and sin no more. We don't need to be a condemning people. We need a people of all embracing.
Yes.
I know people who have had abortions, and I love them dearly. I wasn't in their shoes when they had to make that decision. And I'm sad they made that decision. But some have come to the Lord and said, please forgive me. And you know something?
Yes.
I forgive you. I forgive you. Let me put my arms around you. Let me comfort you in your loss. Now you're realizing that it wasn't just a piece of tissue, but it was your baby. And now let me put my arms around you and comfort you when you realize what you've lost. See, many don't want to go down that road because they don't want to realize how much they lost, what they gave up. They don't want to go down that road of knowing that this is an old ungodly thing from the days of Baal, of child sacrifice. But Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will put his arm around you, and he will comfort you, and he will love you, and he will heal you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's in the past. Let's move forward into the future. Let me hold your hand like I did with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when I first created them. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. It was above their pay grade. I wrote that down in my Bible. Above, but I didn't put there, I put above my pay grade. To condemn anybody.
That's right.
This is a hard word. I know it's a hard word. I've wrestled with it and wrestled with it all week in trying to say it and not come across condemning. And I believe, I hope that I've succeeded. But we are challenged by God's word to allow his word to truly be that lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. That we not be a people that chase after miracles and signs and wonders. I love them. I love miracles. I love signs and wonders. Don't get me wrong. But there's ones that will chase after them and not stop to really listen to what may be taught. There are those that signs and wonders and miracles do follow, and they're teaching the word. But there are those who are not. And you need to have the discernment. That's my hope, is that I can give you the equipment necessary that way you can discern these things for yourself.
That's right.
Amen? God is good. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Yes, he does.
And I'm just going to close in prayer. And now, Lord, I just trust you. This word is a hard word, Lord, but we need to be warriors.
Yes, we do.
We're not supposed to be spiritual wimps, but warriors. And we can only be warriors when we take your word and ingrain it into our hearts. That our hearts will be circumcised by the sharpness of your word. Your word says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Discern our heart, Lord. Show us the areas of our heart that you want to work on. Let me rephrase that, Lord. Show us areas of our heart you need to work on. And may we open our hearts fully to you, that you'll do the work in us that is needed so that we can become more like you.
Yes.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Church, let's stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. That the Lord will give you discernment when deceptive words are laid out in front of you. That the idleness of the enemy and the destruction that the enemy tries to bring in, we will recognize it, we will discern it, and we will rebuke it in our lives. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for paying the price for my sins on the cross.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That when I still sin, you are faithful.
Yes.
To cleanse me from it fully. Thank you, Jesus. Congregation, just lift your hands to the Lord. And thank him for his discernment.
Thank you.
Thank him for the power of his spirit.
Thank you.
Thank him that he has not left you alone. Thank him that you can walk with him in the cool of the day. Thank him that he shows you deep understandings of his word. Praise him for what he has done for you on the cross. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, let it be today. If you were to die today, do you know if you would go to heaven? Or are you one of those ones that say, I think I might? I think I've been good enough, because I got word for you. You're not. Neither am I. It takes the work of the cross to pour God's righteousness into our lives. Thank you, Lord. If you have not received Christ as Lord, then I challenge you to come forward and let us pray with you. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool.